Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the fan. We'll continue with your calls here. We're talking Jets to start the show the first hour, 888-808-1019. Let's get to some Giant stuff here, BT. And we can get into this weekend's game specifically as far as Barkley, if you care about that. I know we touched on a little bit yesterday but didn't dive into it. But before that, I just think this is a very important time here to where this decision that the Giants need to make as far as Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, which I'm assuming they've already made, I would guess that one game is not going to determine their fate, win or lose Sunday, right? So I would assume in the building, they know what they're going to do with Shane and Daboll. But it's not just a decision to bring them back for another year. To me, this is a decision that will determine their future. If you are going to make the choice to stick with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, it's got to be beyond next year. Now's the time to make a decision that is going to change the course of your franchise for the next at least 3 to 5 years, good or bad. But it can't be, we're going to bring him back and evaluate next year. No, you're determining if you've seen enough in 3 years to keep Joe Shane and Brian Daboll beyond next year. Let them continue to try to build this thing up, whether it's drafting and developing a quarterback or just build the team up. You're either deciding that or you're deciding you haven't seen enough and you're going to go with a clean slate from now.
Which is why I've said for a while I would not bring them back, because I don't see enough evidence to give them more rope.
And I'm with you. I wasn't like that initially. But remember when I was saying that I wasn't with you, It was week 4, 5, 6, whatever. Well, now we've seen the end of the year. I just don't know how you can possibly justify seeing enough in 3 years, whether it's the first year postseason or the rookie class this year from Shane. Like, that's not enough to justify keeping them beyond one more year of evaluation. Mm-hmm. They've had their chance here for 3 years. They were the worst team in the league the majority of the year this year.
Unwatchable, dude.
Yeah, unwatchable. With an offensive mind and a guy who was in the playoffs a year ago with more weapons than ever before, they fell on their face. Like, how could you not? How could you trust that this is going to be the pair beyond next year? To me, it's not worth that risk. I would just clean house.
Yeah, now. No, so would I. Listen, I don't think that he wants to trust that it's going to get better. Or maybe a better way to frame it is, I don't necessarily think that he does believe that it's going to get better with them, significantly better. I think that it's more some of the stuff that's at the side of the plate, like, not the steak, but, you know, do I really want to deal with this nonsense again? I think if they stay, which I think at this point they both will.
And I
agree.
That's
what I believe will happen.
Like, my gut is on Black Monday, If we hear that Shane and Daboll are fired, I would be, like, shocked at this point.
Me too. I would be very, maybe shocked is a bit strong, but I'd be very surprised at this point. Now, maybe if they would have gotten waxed last game, maybe that would have, that residue would have been carrying over. I don't know. Not that one game should change anything, and it doesn't, but I think maybe in the eyes of Mara, maybe he needed to see, all right, you know, have they quit on, I'm just thinking out loud, quit on the coach, and obviously when you score a ton of points and you win, you know, and you finally get a win at home, so you get that off the ledger. That does change some things optically here, but I think that the only real reason to keep them is to avoid change.
Right. Not wanting to go through the...
Yeah. Like the embarrassment, and he doesn't want to be so volatile. He does want to be the Jets, yeah, basically.
And that's fine, but what I'm saying is then two things cannot happen if that's the way that he wants to go. And I believe it's not just going to be just because he doesn't want to make the changes, because he has to hold on to at least something. First year playoffs, whatever, Shane draft, whatever it may be. But you cannot, under any circumstance, split them up. And you cannot then evaluate them next year and fire them next season. Like, to me, that would not be the right thing to do. I think you have to.
Why not, though?
Because I think if you're sticking with this team, you're sticking with this regime, it's got to be beyond next season. You've got good options out there potentially now. You were supposed to have a top pick. Who knows where they're exactly going to end up. But for me, it's about a quarterback. If you are sticking with this team, the number one thing you need to see is, can Shane and Dable draft and develop a quarterback? If you're sticking with them and they take a quarterback, then how could you justify moving on from them next year? If they don't, I don't know what the hell you're doing.
I'm not so sure they're going to take a quarterback. I know there's a little bit of a curveball to the conversation. Yeah. I don't know that they're going to take a quarterback. I really don't.
Well, those things do matter, though, because if you're not then taking a quarterback, then to me, how can you, like, why would you be keeping Shane and Dable for what? They're just going to keep punting the quarterback spot? Like, how many years do they get here?
Well, I guess I'd answer that individually. You would keep Shane because his last draft was very good. And, you know, what have you done for me lately? Maybe that's what Mara latches onto. And I can understand that loosely on some level. And from Dable's perspective, they haven't quit. Yeah. Just based on the last time they played, and the first year was really good, and they overachieved. So, like, there are things that you can at least hang your hat on for a little bit with each guy. It's not like it's complete and utter folly from day one.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but it's been 3 years of evaluation, so you have to, or they have to decide. Like, if it were me making the decision, I say, okay, well, here are the 3 years. They made the playoffs the first year. They decided to keep Daniel Jones. They handled Saquon Barkley this way, McKinney this way. Here's the drafts. Evan Neal, Kayvon Thibodeau, whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
This is how it went in year three, still not even close to closing the gap between the top teams in the division and where we're at, where we've seen now the Commanders even surpass where the Giants were at. And there are options out there. Like, why would I stick with this? And if I do keep this regime and I want a quarterback and they do take a quarterback and they struggle next year, I'm not going to change another regime with a quarterback.
Saying. I know what you're saying.
There was just too much. I'd rather have a clean slate. Now, to your point, though, before about players not quitting, Hoff gives us some sound here. This is who? Kayvon Thibodeau. This was yesterday talking about the players not quitting on Brian Dable. Go ahead, Zoo.
Why do you feel he's the guy for the job?
I mean, he's a great coach. I think it's sports, man. It's something that you can't control. And in the NFL specifically, we affect everybody's money. You know, all of us in this locker room kind of affect each other, even with the coaching staff. So, you know, for him as a coach, I love him. I think he's a great coach. I think he's a player's coach. I think he, you know, has great philosophies. And, you know, sometimes things just, you know, don't shake out for the season or whatever it may be. But, yeah, man, I got total confidence in, you know, the organization and total confidence in the coaching. So I don't know how it'll shake out, but you know, things will happen.
You know, I think those are positive comments right there from Thibodeau. I like to hear that, BT. Problem is the results are what they are. Like, how could you argue with the results?
That doesn't mean too much to me. I respect that Kayvon saying that for his coach. I don't really put a lot of stock in that. I mean, you've heard that from so many other players all these other years, different iterations of both the Jets and the Giants. Maybe not quite to that extent. And there's been other cases where some guys have been like, hey, whatever the team does, they do. I get it. So it's not an endorsement. He's definitely endorsing Dable, and I respect that. But, I mean, I'm not even that impressed with Kayvon Thibodeau. I'm going to hang on every word.
Well, I do think what he said there was authentic. I don't think it was one of these.
Too.
You know, he's a player's guy, whatever. I think it was authentic in his belief in Brian Dable. Unfortunately, the team, and remember, some of these guys were questioning their effort in season, multiple players on the team questioning the effort.
Oh, so now it's changed?
No, I'm just saying it's good to at least hear that from at least one of the big players.
Again, I like Dable, but if Dable's so good, then why did they question the effort for a couple of weeks in the middle of the season?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's why, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau and most of these players, they are younger. And not that you can't have a salient point when you're young. You certainly could, but I take it with a grain of salt, dude. It's a diamond. Okay, great.
Yeah.
So he said this. It's January. He said this yesterday on January 2nd. What the hell was going on in October and November when your season was being defined and you guys were not us? You guys, well, us, but also you guys were questioning the level of commitment and effort, which is a direct connection to your coach.
Yeah, I mean, what's Malik Nabers' unfiltered thoughts on the head coach and the play call? I'm not trying to pick on Dable or even say that what Thibodeau says should be gospel right there. I do think it's refreshing and was honest comments. Problem is, look at the results. Like, they're not good. They're awful. They've regressed in 3 years. So I just don't know. And I want to believe in Dable and want to keep Brian Dable here. I don't trust that, A, Mara's going to do the right thing, and B, that Shane and Dable are going to build this thing out moving forward. I
got a question for you. So we spent the first hour. We'll get back to the calls here. 888-808-1019. So you have identified Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
You know that I want Vrabel. I've been on the record for 2 months. If we were at the point with the Giants, even though I would make a change, and you would as well.
Yeah.
But since we don't think they're going to make a change, we haven't really put ourselves out there. Is there even a perfect candidate for the Giants? Maybe that's part of the reason why, if Mara does elect to keep both men, it's because he doesn't view anybody as the true solution to fix the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the same guys that we're talking about with the Jets. You know,
Flores?
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea of Flores. Maybe clean up some of this nonsense that the Giants got going on here.
But not Pete Carroll for the Giants.
No.
Why?
Because I think the Jets are more ready-made to win now.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
And they also need, like, I don't think the Giants are as toxic as the Jets seem. And maybe I shouldn't use that word again.
I don't think the Jets are that toxic.
Yeah, well, they've got a lot
that
of...
that sounds crazy, but...
The Jets clearly didn't have a head coach that can make the most of his players and have a structured environment. And I didn't trust Saleh, but when Saleh left, it got even worse. The thing went off the rails. So they need somebody who could put everything in place here. Where I don't feel like that's the case with the Giants. I just feel like it's been a talent thing with the Giants, maybe a schematic thing with the Giants offensively. I just feel like it's different, and the Jets are closer to winning with the talent that they have. So I think Carroll would fit better. For the Giants, I mean, yeah, I would look at Flores. I mean,
would you be more open to an assistant with the Giants?
Yeah, I think. But again, now you're going down the same path again. Yes. Initially, my thought 2 weeks ago before they screwed up and beat the Colts was you have the top pick. You now become more appealing to, let's say, Ben Johnson because he said, I could pick my quarterback. Now you get Ben Johnson, the top offensive coordinator, or Liam Cohen, whatever, from the Bucs, whoever's the top offensive coordinator in your mind, paired with the top pick, so they get to choose their quarterback, and now at least you could go from there. That's obviously not going to happen now because they screwed that up, so circumstances has changed here. I'm not even saying I would definitively, I would at this point because they haven't put enough on tape, but if they decide to bring Shane and Dable back, I'm not opposed to that. What I am opposed to is splitting them up or not sticking to them beyond next year.
So then you're going to give them an extension?
Yes, they should.
There's no way I'm giving them an extension.
But then why,
I know what you mean.
But then why even bring them back?
Well, I wouldn't.
That's the point.
But if I did, I'm not giving them an extension. I'd rather play the lame duck game than giving those guys extensions.
Why? Why waste another year with another top pick? You see what I'm saying? Like if they're...
Well, but think about this, Al. I'm going to play semantics a little bit. If I'm Mara, I'm not signing up for wasting another year. From Mara's perspective, I'm answering like Mara. If I bring them back for a year and don't give them the extension, which I would not, I am giving them back. So I'm not fully committed enough to get rid of them, hence I'm bringing them back. But I'm also not committed enough to give them a multi-year extension.
Right, but then that's...
So if they prove me... If they reward my belief next year, then I give them the extension. If they don't, then they're gone.
Right, and what I'm saying is that is exactly what they did with Daniel Jones, not making a decision. Now, at the end of year three, is decision time. You either believe in them or you don't.
But it's
not.
It
can't be halfway.
Yeah, this is such an interesting conversation.
But if you get to the point where you're like saying, well, I'm not sure yet, then that's the wrong answer. Then that means you need to move. If you're not sure that these are the guys that are going to turn this franchise around, if you're not 100% sure, then you need to move on now as opposed to wasting another year and maybe this and maybe that.
Yeah.
Now's the time. That's what I'm saying. Now's the time to do it. You either believe in them or you don't. And if you don't, then move on.
But you lose me when you bring the Jones stuff into it, because the Jones stuff and the quarterback evaluation, year five, picking up the option, there's like a finite window where you have to determine if you're going to bring him back. With the coaches, you can kick it down the road for a year, which is what I'm going to do, because they haven't heard anything more than that.
Right.
And I'm not even sure I want to give them that. But at least I could kick it down for a year and say, all right, year one was good. All right. And from a coaching perspective, year three was very good from a draft perspective. No extensions, but we're going to roll one more year. If they're good, then I'll give them an extension. If they're bad, then they're gone. I start over. But with the quarterback stuff, they had to make it. Well, they could have tagged them. I mean, they could have tagged them.
Or just
they didn't mess that up. But it's a different set. It's different rules for the quarterback.
Understood. But I'm not talking about the rules. That's to me the semantic stuff. I know that's an actual.
It's a
real huge thing.
It's a massive part of it.
But I'm talking about
everything.
I'm talking about evaluating a player or a general manager. Like, you either thought Daniel Jones was the guy or he wasn't, and they were like, I'm not sure. He might be the guy, maybe not. No. Get off the pot and make a decision. You didn't do it with Jones. It took you forever. Now you realize 6 years later it was the wrong decision and you wasted time. That's what I don't want to happen. So you're right. Like, there are different things that go into it with the franchise tag or the contract, but the same principle of making a decision. You saw it for 3 years. If you don't think that they're it after 3 years, they're not it. If you don't think Daniel Jones is a good quarterback after 3 years, you don't need to see more with a different system or we screwed this kid up. That's just how I would be definitive. Doesn't mean you're going to be right every time, but at least you're definitive in your decision making.
$5 if you can recreate that high-pitched voice that you just get off the pot. Can we hear that again? Is that what they sound like over at the Quest Diagnostic Lab? What is it called, Hop? I pass it all the time. What is it?
Quest Diagnostic.
There you go. Thank you.
Whitey Wilson is calling from Roxbury, New Jersey. I mean, well, you heard what he said.
Hey. I did. Yeah. I did.
What's up there, Wilson?
Clown.
Yeah.
Whitey, get
lost.
Hey,
guys. Happy New Year. Hey guys, listen. A real thing. If John Mara brings a head coach and the general manager back that won 9 games in 2 years, he's out of his mind. Number two, all the Giants players, they've been coached by the front office. Because Malik Nabers, when he doesn't have a microphone on the phone, he's saying this guy is a horrendous head coach. When you listen to Malik Nabers talk, it's like somebody told him exactly what to say. So I don't believe
I got you. I mean, maybe, but that's. Okay. I don't think that's uncommon to. First of all, if that's even true, but you make it seem like it. Hold on,
you
make
know
it.
What I'm
well,
saying,
hold on,
though, right?
well, hold on. You make it seem like it's a bad thing for an organization to coach a young player on how to handle the media during a tumultuous time. That's actually a good thing. That's a compliment.
But nobody believes it. Nobody believes that this guy is a great. When they say he's a good head coach, he's not a good head coach. He's a horrendous head coach that threw Daniel Jones under the bus the other day on a press conference. Oh, hey, listen, that's what it looks like. Well, you know, when I have a good quarterback, that's what it looks like. All the other coaches want a good quarterback. All the other coaches don't want to turn the ball over.
Yeah.
This guy is a clown. Let me tell you.
Well, he's not a clown. I don't think he's a clown at all.
Years. Yeah, and thanks for the call, Wilson.
Hey, Drew Lock ever throw 5 touchdown passes for anybody else?
Oh, wow.
That ever happened?
I wouldn't be calling him a clown.
That's out of high school?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Drew Lock stinks.
I know, but still, Dable's definitely not a clown.
Well,
he might not be the long-term answer, but he ain't a clown.
Well, my biggest knock on Dable is that the offense has been putrid. In a league that is now built toward teams scoring points.
Yeah.
The Giants
and the Jets,
can't score points. But the difference is, Dable's supposed to be the offensive.
I know.
He's calling the plays now, like last year. So there was already an issue with the offense because Dable had to take over the play.
Well, there was also an offense with the defense, an issue with the defense. Wink got fired.
That's what I'm saying.
And now this year, Dable took over the plays, and the offense up until last week was the worst in the history of the Giants, basically. I mean, that's why I wouldn't bring him back. I've said that.
And that's why I'm with you, because I don't think that there's any way definitively they could see anything in these guys that says they're the people moving forward. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll continue with your calls. Jets and Giants here on this Football Friday. Maybe work some baseball as well. We got picks. We got Costos. We got a ton to do. Just getting going here, 888-808-1019.
I've been told that he did throw 4 touchdowns with Denver.
Oh, not 5. You said 5.
No, I'm saying,
he didn't throw 5 with the Giants.
Did I say 5?
He threw
4 with Denver?
threw four with the Giants and did rush.
No, I know. Okay. Did I say five with the Giants or four? I meant four. I may have said five.
I thought five. I thought he had.
What did I say?
He only threw four.
Okay.
But what did I say?
You said five.
Yeah. Oh, I meant four.
Well, I thought
did he throw four? I was watching the Jets. All right.
Yeah. BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We've been talking Jets and Giants so far. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. How do you feel about Lewis Riddick getting the interview?
I don't know how to feel, be honest with you. Like, I've gone back and forth with him. I like him. I've always liked him on TV. I know he's obviously well-connected. You know, he follows the college game, which is an advantage. But so did Mike Mayock, who was a complete disaster with the Raiders. I you know what? Honestly, for the I do like him, and I wouldn't say no. It's probably a B minus for me. I just feel like it's got to be Vrabel and a Dimitroff or a Robinson for the Jets.
Dimitroff for me would be the. By the way, if the Jets could hire Dimitroff, who's been experienced, then. If the Giants fired Shane, I guarantee you Dimitroff would be better than Joe Shane. Like, he's proven to be. So there are better choices. You know what's funny? Mm. I almost think it's more important for the Giants to hit with the general manager and more important for the Jets to hit with the head coach. Now, obviously, you want to hit on both.
Uh-huh.
But where the Jets are at as a franchise, as an organization, they need a face of the franchise to lead this team out of the... Like, they have some players there. Joe Douglas wasn't awful. He wasn't great, but he wasn't awful.
No.
They just didn't get the right head coach. With the Giants, I don't think they have either necessarily, but it's been, to me, more about the players than it has been about the coaching.
Well, that's interesting, and I think I agree with you, but I would also say that even if you're right, and I think that you are, and I know you're not underrating the GM position, but the next general manager for the Jets is going to have some very tough decisions. Are you giving Garrett Wilson $30 million a year? That's what he's going to want, dude.
Yeah.
So when he's starting to squawk about, you know, his role, he's looking to get paid, and I don't blame him. Is he Jamar Chase? Is he Justin Jefferson? No. Does he want to get paid like that? Yes, and I respect that. He should want that. Are you going to pay Sauce Gardner that? I'm not. Are you going to trade Sauce? I don't know.
I'm not minimizing
Rodgers?
It.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff there.
I know. I'm not minimizing it, but you get the feel. Like, wouldn't you be okay if they hired Vrabel? You're like, all right, yeah, sure, bring in Riddick. I don't care.
No.
Oh, really?
No.
As long as they hire, to me, the head coach, then I'm okay with.
No, it would be better than hiring, say, you know, some unknown coordinator not named Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn and then hiring Lewis Riddick. But no. I need the tandem. And I'm not saying that Riddick would be a failure. I don't know.
Right. But there's an unknown. I mean, there's that's part of the problem.
I'm not taking a risk there. Not with this Jets team. Think about even the punitive nature. Now you'll have a capologist as well. But like the punitive nature to if the dead money with Aaron Rodgers and, you know, what's accelerated if you trade him, if he retires, if he's cut in March 1st. Like, there's so much stuff. Some of it's basic. But there's so much stuff that they have to figure out financially. Is Riddick ready to do that as a first-year GM? That's a lot of big decisions, dude.
Yeah, I would go get Thomas Dimitroff. Billy is in Jones Beach. What's up, Billy?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to say Happy New Year and I'm on the opposite of one of that last caller that called Dable a clown. That was a little harsh.
Yes.
I would bring him back only because I do think he's a good coach, and he's proved that at every level, even at the NFL level that year one. And I have a comment about, like, the players saying they had lacked effort. Well, then some of those players might need to go because a lot of players did give effort. And, you know, whether it's a Trey Banks or some of the other guys that didn't really – you know, wrap up and like Olay tackle.
Yes.
You know, maybe they don't want to be Giants.
Well, maybe they don't want to be football players. I mean, honestly. You know what's interesting, Billy? Go ahead. Finish up. Go ahead.
No, I also have a GM recommendation if they do clean house, and that would be Reggie McKenzie.
Reggie McKenzie, formerly of the Raiders?
Yeah, he got pushed out by Gruden. I thought he was on the right track.
Reggie McKenzie? No way. Stop. I was actually working out there when Reggie was the GM of the Reggie McKenzie.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with what he did necessarily with the Raiders. You got to give me the timeline.
The timeline was 2011. This was Dennis. No. I don't think it's going to be Reggie McKenzie. You know, I don't think we need to waste a lot of time on Reggie with all respect to Reggie. But, you know, and the first thing that the caller said, the effort. Now, let's breaking news, all right? We all think that we know this. Now, sometimes there are such obvious examples like, Gleyber Torres loafing down the first base line, or in basketball, just not even getting back in transition defense, or the NFL, like Deontay Banks not tackling.
Yeah.
Okay. Or even Sauce, where guys check out. But most of us, including me, cannot really truly determine or fully differentiate between a lack of effort and a lack of talent at that level. I know that, now I'm not saying the obvious thing, because anybody could tell that. I'm saying kind of snap to snap, gap integrity, and things like, we think that we know that. We don't. Because we don't know exactly what their 40 times are and how strong they are compared to the guy that's pushing them around. There are so many variables that we pretend that we know that we don't, and we oversimplify it. So that's why I try to stay in my lane with that.
Right.
But I do think with the examples where they present themselves and they're so obvious, where you are so clearly uninspired and uninterested in playing physically, if that's on film, then your ass is out.
Yeah, and I don't think that that's the case with the Giants necessarily.
Some of them know.
Yeah, at times there have been individuals who have done that, but the fact that the Giants could go out there and play a game that they did on Sunday against the Colts shows you that the team has not quit, whereas I look at the Jets, and to me, at least to date, you see a team that is just, they've quit since week. After Saleh got fired, I thought the Jets have quit.
No, I think they quit against Buffalo. No way. I totally disagree. They lost every game at the last possession.
Yeah, no, I feel like this team was lost team.
Now they're stupid.
Yeah.
And I just say that because when you commit 16 penalties for 120 penalty yards and you're the second most penalized team in the NFL again, guess what? You're not smart. So I'm not calling them dumb people. I'm calling them stupid football players. They are not as talented like stopping the run, but I don't think that they quit. Now, against Buffalo, they definitely checked out of that game when it was 40-zippy. But no way, dude. They lost six games where if they would have scored on that last possession, you're right there for four quarters.
I don't mean like literally quit. I mean they just it was over. Once Saleh got fired, it was over and they knew it. The defense was in shambles. Guys were missing tackles left and right. I mean, what about the Cardinal game where their season was still on the line as far
that
as
that was
playoff.
The biggest disappointment of the that yeah, was they one got, they lost 31-6.
Steamrolled.
Inexplicable.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. And there were too many games like that after
the
Saleh
firing.
That
was really the only game where they got completely waxed.
The defense has been awful.
No, but I'm not saying the defense was good. The defense has been so disappointing. And Joe Douglas, while we always prop up the good things that Joe did, and we know the bad things like Zach Wilson and Becton, even though Becton's pretty good now, the biggest disservice that Joe Douglas did on his way out the door was stripping down a really good defensive line. So their run stuffing stinks. But if you look at, you pull up the Jets schedule, I don't know if you're doing that now. Like the Cardinals game, that was also the first game where they had Adams and they were all out of whack on offense. They got rubbed. I think it was 31-6. But most of the games, they've all been one scores. Minnesota, out in London. I mean, the Bills game, the Colts
Saleh got fired after the Minnesota game.
Yeah, but go through the games. Yeah. Like, what games have they been waxed?
I mean, honestly. Pittsburgh beat him 37-15.
They were winning that game, though.
Yeah, I mean, they won. They lost 37-15.
I understand that, but was that the game where it went off Garrett Wilson's shoulder pads in the pick? They were winning that game.
But I also
in
don't,
Pittsburgh.
I don't think that saying a team quit just means getting blown out every game. I just don't think the defense ever, after Saleh got fired, I mean, go back and listen to some of the quotes from these guys. Like, once Saleh got fired, it just was not even remotely close to the same. Now, the same wasn't good enough anyway. But they fired Saleh, and they got progressively worse. I mean, think about it. They won two games right after losing the opening day to the Niners.
Two of the worst teams in the NFL, the Titans and the Patriots back-to-back.
Right.
Two inept offenses. They are awful, those teams.
Right, but then they lose to the Broncos in a game that they should have won a million times
over. In the rain. Same thing
in London to the Vikings. The Vikings, by the way, look at what the Vikings have done.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically haven't lost a game all year, and they lose a game that they should have won.
What was the score of that game again?
23-17.
Okay.
And it shouldn't have been, like, 23-17. Think about that. They lost in a close game, and they were turning the ball over left and right. Like, they could have won that game easily.
All right, I'm with you on the schedule now. Three-point loss to Buffalo.
Yeah, all right, but still, I mean, after that, the Pittsburgh game.
But again, the context there, they were winning. The Patriots, they lost by three. They beat the Texans, although they scored no points in the first half. Again, the Cardinals game was an outlier. They lost by a point to the Colts.
Right,
they lost by five to Seattle. They lost in overtime to Miami. Mm-hmm. They beat the Jags. Who cares at this point? The Rams and the Bills, where they checked out. But, no, I would definitely push back on the fact that the Jets quit. The Jets did not quit. see, the problem with the reason, one of the main reasons why the Jets have lost so much is that their coach, and I don't even blame him.
Yeah.
Olbrich basically just said, dude, I'm going for wins. I'm not looking at down and distance. Should I punch? I'm just going for first downs. And when you do that 3, 4, 5 times a game, you're going to lose. I don't think the Jets quit. I just think they were vastly overrated on defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have different definitions of quit. You would look at it maybe as saying a blowout score. To me, that's not quit. To me, it's quit like, head coach is gone now. Like, guys were making business decisions all year long.
But not enough because they weren't getting blown out. So how many business decisions can you make if you're losing by 3 points or losing in overtime?
Now,
that's what I'm saying.
I think the majority of defensive players after Saleh got fired gave up on the season. Quit, whatever you want to call it. I don't think they're playing hard for Olbrich at all. So you can look at the close scores, sure, but the other teams that are playing aren't very good anyway. I mean, Buffalo, this is why, to me, the easiest bet of the year was picking the Bills in a game that they had to win against the Jets a week ago. And look, it's an indictment on the players themselves, not just Olbrich, but I think the Jets players, they have not been giving max effort all year long, but especially after Robert Saleh. 888-808-1019. We'll continue with your calls. I also want to get into real quick, BT, when we come back, because we didn't touch it yesterday. The Altice issue with the Knicks and Rangers, MSG, and Altice or Optum. Yeah, we should just mention that real quick.
Okay, do it.
My mother was texting me about this. I'm like, Mike, you don't even watch the Knicks and Rangers. She's
She got a big one tonight. She wants to watch the Knicks beat the Thunder.
Tonight's a national game.
Getting fired up.
Tonight's a national game. I think so. That's why hopefully people won't be impacted by it. Anyway, let's mention that real quick. Right. We'll get back to your calls too. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal back on the Fan. Stop me if you've heard this before. Hey, a cable dispute. Here we go. We're now Altice, Optimum, I guess it's the same thing. So what happened? MSG was Optimum, and I think they sold to Altice years ago because they used to have this service.
Okay.
I don't any longer. But either way, you can't get, if you are an Optimum / Altice subscriber, if you're an Altice subscriber, you cannot watch the Knicks or Rangers. You don't get MSG networks. So they're obviously battling over money in the package. Here's what I would say, BT, without knowing all the details, but being experienced in this many times over, because this is not a new thing.
No, it's not.
If it is important to you to watch the Knicks and the Rangers, or whatever else you want to watch on there, the Islanders, the Sabres, whatever it is, or in general, if there's a cable dispute that involves something that you care about watching, figure out a way to watch it, or maybe it's not that important to you. Like, there are other options. You either want to watch the games or you don't. The customer's always getting screwed here. It's not right.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you have to figure out what you're going to do for you, because you can't control what MSG does, what Altice or Optimum does, or what Verizon does, or this one or that one. Like, you can't control the cable providers. What you can control is who you get and how you can watch these games. And there are ways to do it. So figure it out. That's what I would say.
Got no time for Peyton. Figure it out.
Well, what is it? People are going to complain about it. Well, you already know what it's about.
No, I get it.
You want to know what I would do if I was that upset? Cancel it then. Cancel the service. Or don't watch any of the games. Like, if you love it, you're screwed. There's no choice. I'm sorry.
I know. There's ways to get it out of the cart. There's other ways to get it. They cut the cord, get some other. Listen, I have never, this is going to sound incredibly selfish, not that I don't, I can't really relate to it because I've never had cable issues. I've never had one of these issues.
I don't know how that's possible.
I don't know, dude. All of these issues that have plagued so many great fans that I've listened to Mike and Chris talk about back in the days. Goes on forever. I understand. It has never once infiltrated my television set. I don't know how. I don't know why. Just lucky. I'm not special. Right. It's not like I have some special box and I'm so wealthy that it just prevents me from getting. No. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I do feel badly because you're never going to win against a multi-billion-dollar conglomerate, which, to your point, is just suck it up up and do something else.
We're all losing. There's no choice. Here's where it impacted me personally. And this is where, you just have no choice. You have to learn how to deal with it. Whether I was living in the city where I could only get...
Yeah, well, that I did too in the city.
Okay, so we could only get Time Warner cable. That was it. Yeah. I had no choice
Me too.
But to get Time Warner. So whatever the issues were then... That was it. And there weren't
But did you have it? I had no issues when I lived in Zanesville. I lived in City for 8 years.
I don't recall any, but I didn't like being pigeonholed to only having...
I didn't care, whatever.
Yeah, but there were certain things. And by the way, back then, like for me, it was almost 10 years ago. Actually, it was over 10 years ago where I first moved into the city. There weren't as many streaming options as
for
there
sure.
are now.
And I was in the city earlier than that.
So there you
I moved
go.
In at 04.
So we were kind of... That's it. Time Warner Cable.
I got the Knicks and I got the Rangers, Yanks, and Mets. That's it.
I have had issues before, but then I've worked ways around it. Whatever it may be. And now most recently when I moved to Jersey, I was a Optimum, whatever, Altice subscriber.
Okay.
And like, I don't like streaming.
Me neither.
I'm an old school, I want the cord. Bring that damn cord from the ground, through the ground, through the house, plug it into my box and
set me up. And I'm set. I'm the same way, dude.
So they didn't do that. When I got my new service or whatever, same service just transferring in Jersey, they bring all these streaming boxes. And I was like, well, what's that? I want, where's the hardwire? I want one, at least one. I need at least one. You could stream from there, but I need one. They didn't do it. So now I'm basically streaming anyway. And if I'm going to do that, the better, to me, internet provider was Verizon.
Yeah, which is, you know, I'm all
I
Verizon.
Know, you're for Verizon. So and then it just so happened that Verizon became available in the area because it's not available in all these areas. So we can't even choose. As customers, it matters where you live to what you could have access to. So I can't get Verizon Fios TV, but I could get the internet. So if I'm going to stream anyway, I figured, all right, well, forget it. I'm just going to move on from Optimum in this case. Give me the better internet with Verizon, and then I got YouTube TV. That's how I got to that.
Okay.
Which then, I didn't have MSG Network, so I needed to do the Gotham Sports app, which, by the way, is not great either.
I've heard it's not very good.
It's not. It's not great. I wish, I mean, with the way the apps are, it should be a no-brainer. It shouldn't be this difficult. I should be able to turn on the game when I get home at 8 o'clock and go back to 7:30 when it started.
But you can't rewind on the app?
No! No!
Oh, that's brutal.
It's brutal,
right? Are you serious?
No, it's...
Can you at least record it?
No. No, you cannot record it. After the fact, they'll have it up there. Anyway, point is...
So, like, if you put the Yanks or the Mets on Apple TV, you can rewind it.
Correct.
I've done it.
Most apps and
all those games. Or Amazon Prime. Sure.
Almost everyone. YouTube TV, Netflix, almost everyone.
Yeah, Netflix.
You could go back and rewind. And Gotham Sports, I'm like, what is this? I can't go back. So that's annoying. But the point is, I had to, because of my circumstances, figure out a way. If it's that important to me, I got to watch it. I can't be without it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the app may be that you need to get to the service. Unfortunately, going into this deal, we're all screwed. We don't have the hammer. They do. And there's nothing you can do. You can yell and kick and scream about it, but you're going to either not get the games or you're going to pay to get the games in a different avenue.
Yeah. I feel badly for those who either, one, don't have the resources, okay, to jump around and change things, or two, don't have the, I don't say capability, but or the willingness to learn like some older people.
Yeah, I know.
My dad
has
no idea how to do this.
I know.
If, like, he can't flick, now the game's on NBA TV tonight. If he can't flick on MSG to watch the Knicks, he ain't going to watch the Knicks.
I know.
He's got no choice. He's got no chance to find it. He doesn't know how.
All right.
Now, my mom's better with that, but it is what it is. And watching the Knicks and watching the Rangers, now it's not quite like watching the Yankees and the Mets. I don't mean for devout baseball fans, but the beauty of baseball is that you come home from work, you flip it on, you don't have to listen to every single second it's on, you're getting ready, whatever, the kids, if they're young, bath, you know, pajamas, all right, game's on, then you hit rewind, whatever, you get into it, but it's there. But you don't, I know hockey fans don't watch the Rangers like that, and I don't watch the Knicks that way. I want to watch the game.
Yeah, I know.
So if you can't rewind it, or if you don't have access to it, what it does, and this saddens me, it really interrupts a routine that the great sports fans of our city have had forever.
I know, but to me, I want people to take control back the best that they can. We don't, and it's not about having resources, or like, even if you're rich, you're still getting inconvenience here. You're getting screwed. So to me, it's not just about, if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. End of story. Like, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Or you prioritize something else.
Yeah,
I just feel like people need to take back the hammer here and then say, you know what? I do love the Knicks or I do love the Rangers, but I'm tired of being screwed. So screw them. Screw this company. I'm doing me. And I'll watch something else. I'll do something else with that. Then do that or listen to it, whatever. However you want to figure it out, or go back and watch the highlights that are on YouTube a day later.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, there are ways to consume the product without being continually screwed.
But here's the problem, Sal, and you're not wrong, but the biggest issue, what is the main revenue stream for any sport?
Right. Is it the cable stuff you're talking about?
It's the broadcasting rights, okay? And that's why the gate is less important and the parking. Not that it doesn't add up, but the merch is obviously big globally with somebody like Ohtani and some other international players. Clearly, the NBA has a ton of those, hockey as well. But the money comes from the TV contracts. So they don't really care because the ratings are now being reflected. The NBA, I told you this before we went on vacation, the NBA's down 36% year-to-year in viewership.
Right.
So the viewership is eroding. They don't care because they'll care the next time they negotiate a deal. But currently, this deal's locked in for a while. They don't care. They're not gonna, they got to spot the short ones.
Okay, so we know we're getting hurt in this dispute, right? The consumer who wants to watch the Knicks and Rangers, you're getting hurt or inconvenience, whatever it may be. Are like Altice is going to get hurt if people cancel their subscription and go elsewhere.
Yes.
Does MSG Networks get hurt at all?
I can't answer that. I mean, I think eventually and residually, it would certainly it would definitely impact advertising rates. I mean, that's the first thing that jumps to mind.
Just MSG. Like all the parties who are inconveniencing us, the consumer, should be getting hurt. But I don't know if they are.
You want to know why people, at the end of the day, care less about sports than they used to? Because back in the day, all right, you could put on Channel 9 and watch your Mets.
Yeah.
You could put on Channel 11 and watch your Yankees. And eventually you got to a point where if you had access to it, whether it's Sports Channel for your Mets, MSG for your Yankees before YES. And then YES came and then SNY came, but it was very easy. And they provided some other content like shows that you do now and shows I used to do on SNY.
Yeah.
And it was worth it. But now you're just jumping through hoops, even to watch. I couldn't go to Creighton during the middle of the week, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do the last St. John's game on the road. Do you know that the St. John's game was on Peacock?
Right.
Did anybody know Peacock? That, no. I understand, like, the playoff game that we complained about a year ago and some soccer, which I couldn't care less about. I know a lot do, but I'm not disparaging, but it's not my thing. But, like, to even watch a Big East game, and they've got a big deal with FS1, which is basically almost every game, except the one that I really want to watch on the 31st, New Year's Eve. It's on Peacock. I didn't have Peacock. I didn't realize it. I ordered it.
Yeah.
So I've got to watch the game.
And now, would you pay $5 a month? Whatever.
I know. I had my son punching a button. Mommy's credit card was already in it.
I know.
I'm like, hook us up. You know, cancel if I have to. Sucker, here's $9.
It's funny you say this because this problem obviously goes back many, many years, so much so that you just jogged a memory. It's in part of how I became a Falcons fan. My grandfather in the early 90s was a diehard Yankees fan. But because they went to, and I don't remember because I was just a kid, 10, 11, whatever years old.
Okay. But 90, because, early 90s, you said, God.
Because they must have gotten off of the main cable thing, whatever it was, like they went to pay for MSG or you had to pay for Sports Channel for the Mets. He started watching the Braves on TBS in the early 90s. Not to mention that they were good. So they were good. The majority of their games were available to all of us for free with your cable package.
Yeah, sure.
He became a Braves fan. I would watch the Braves with him, and I loved Deion Sanders, and then I became a Falcons fan. But the point is,
grandfather, like, a little tight with the buck back in the day.
Well, I don't
just principle.
I don't know.
Well, principle.
Probably principle. Yeah, I would think probably principle, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I was too young to really understand it. But now thinking back, he probably was like, "This is bullcrap. Like, I'm not.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Why am I doing this? Imagine how far in that now.
That's
this
like, was in the early 30 years ago.
I was, and how old was he? 60 something. Probably around there.
He passed away in 93, and I think I want to say 65-ish. All right, so
young, unfortunately. But, you know, but still.
68, I think he died.
Okay, so if you're almost 70 and you're born in the 90s, I mean, you're born in the 20s.
Yeah, right,
right. Or, pardon me, and you die in the 90s, you're born in the 20s.
25 he was born.
Yeah, there you go. You're born in 1925. Think about how you consume sports.
Right.
The newspaper, boxing, horse racing, baseball, the Olympics, if you're
into it. Going to the games for a quarter.
I got to start subscribing?
Yeah.
He's like, screw you.
Yeah, I know. This is 30-something years ago, and here we are having the same problems. Look, it's all from greed. It's all from money.
Yep.
And I'm not just being like, oh, we'll figure it out. But the reality is,
watch it or don't. It's quit complaining.
Right. Like, it's up to you. We can't. I wish that we, the consumer, would be treated better. Mm-hmm. We're not. We're only getting treated worse as time goes on.
I agree.
So you need to take matters into your own hands. I'm taking matters into my own. I don't like this service. I'm changing it. I don't care if I lose these channels or if I miss this or miss that. Screw it. I don't want to watch this game on Netflix or Peacock or whatever. I'm not doing it. Now, if you do, like you did the other day, you're going to figure out a way to do it.
Yep.
So if it matters to you, figure it out. Complaining is not going to do any good. Try to hurt them the best way you could, but ultimately you got to look out for you. And if you care about watching the games, figure out a way to watch the games.
This is sadly the manifestation of them taking us for granted for a long time.
I know. Because they know they got us.
Yeah. Oh, we got it.
The Sunday ticket.
Hey, Knicks are good. They want to watch us. Like, here we go.
If they started charging for Jets and Giants game. Now, I mean, obviously, it's been a bad year.
You start paying us if this keeps up. Charge to watch that.
That's a good point. But you honestly know what I mean? The NFL, if you had to pay, and we do to a certain extent, but we would. Like that. I know you and I would. Like, yeah, we love the
product.
We
have to.
To a certain extent. Well, yes, we kind of have to. But still, like, I love it. You know, I'm not. There's nothing that would take me away from watching the Mets or the Yankees. I'll admit, I'm in. Like, whatever you charge.
If there was one thing, one team that you had to pay for to watch every game, who would it be?
Probably the Mets.
Mets, right?
Yeah, I think so. Just because I love baseball, the long season.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, probably would yours be the Yankees?
Yeah.
I mean, the Knicks, of course, but like...
I know.
It's just not the same.
I know.
The regular season doesn't matter as much.
I know.
Playoffs, yes, you pay for all of it, but if you had to pick one...
God, I'd miss my Knicks, but yeah, I'd probably go Yanks.
And maybe we would be better with a la carte. This argument has been happening forever. It's tiresome. I just feel bad for the consumer, to a point where my mother, who doesn't even watch the Knicks or Rangers, is texting me.
Well, what did she say? How do I get the game or what's going on?
She's like, oh, did you see this Ortiz thing here?
She's giving you show content now, huh?
She goes, crazy, no more MSG channels. Thank God I still have Channel 60, which is SNY. Mom can't live without that because she needs to see. I'm like, what are you talking about? You don't even watch the games.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's funny.
BT and Sal, the fan will come back. I mean, it's true, but we come back, reset, hit you with the king topic of the day. We're talking Jets and Giants, 888-808-1019.